Good morning to you all. It's a great blessing to join you all for the Prince of Peace Classic at 10 a.m. on this beautiful Sunday morning, even with the little thunder and rain. It's a joy to see the light of Christ radiating from this beautiful parish and to visit you all. It's another BYOP Sunday at POP, Bring Your Own Priest. So I am a friend of the Moynihan family, who are great members of this wonderful parish, and some of their sons are part of this great army of altar servers behind me, and it's always a joy to visit. My name is Father Mark Searles. I'm from the Diocese of Allentown, Pennsylvania, and I just became a new pastor this summer, so I ask for your prayers as I try to build up a wonderful parish families in Easton, Pennsylvania, a town right next to New Jersey, about an hour north of Philadelphia. But last time I visited, I was blessed to be teaching at St. Charles Seminary in Philadelphia, so I just left that role this summer, and again, I'm beginning a new adventure. So it's nice to have a little rest down south with you all while I'm visiting, and to spend some quality time with the Moynihan family. So again, it's wonderful to pray with you all, to be a part of this beautiful liturgy and this vibrant parish family for this Sunday. And today is traditionally the day of the Feast of Saints Anne and Joachim, the grandparents of Jesus, the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I wish a very happy, blessed Grandparents' Day to all of our grandparents and great-grandparents here. Blessings on you and your children and grandchildren. So our readings this Sunday speak to us about the highest good, the summum bonum. What is the greatest treasure of our lives, and how do we seek it out with everything that we are? What is that pearl of great price? Or that buried treasure, or the greatest catch we could possibly imagine, or the best of the good and the old that the scribes bring forward, as Jesus says in so many beautiful descriptive parables in the gospel today. Or in the language of our young people, what their goals and dreams are in life. What does it look like to be YouTube famous? Or all those silly things that we sometimes make accidentally the highest good. What is the greatest thing that we could possess? And of course, we know the answer is the Lord himself and our relationship with him, and to walk humbly with our God who is with us today. There is nothing greater. But we also know that in this life and in this world, many distractions abound, and the enemy is always out there to tempt us and to take our gaze off of that highest good, the supreme good, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the readings today guide us way back to the Old Testament, to the image of King Solomon, who's one of the greatest figures in the Old Testament, and an extraordinary man. He was one of the most accomplished men in all of the Old Testament. God poured out many, many gifts upon him, from having one of the most extraordinary fathers that ever lived, who knew God and who walked with him and knew how to repent. And after falling away from God and taking his gaze off of the highest good, God gave Solomon, as we know, an understanding heart filled with wisdom, of whom it is said there was no one wiser than Solomon. He built the great temple of Jerusalem in ancient Israel. He wrote a huge portion of the Old Testament, the wisdom literature, and many of the great books and beautiful poetic literature that we know of. And he strengthened the kingdom. His father united the 12 tribes, and Solomon made it great. He made it strong and powerful with alliances, and it became a power in the world at his time. But we hear those words from the Gospel of Luke that are piercing to all of us sometimes in our hearts. Of those to whom much is given, much is expected. Of those to whom much is given, much is expected. And Solomon did great things for the Lord. He was very proficient and productive in every way. His ministry, in a sense, was very, very fruitful. But we also know very sadly that Solomon became one of the greatest idolaters in all of the scriptures, in all of our history of faith. He committed atrocities in the worship of false gods, again, taking his eyes and his gaze off of the highest good. He was given a wise heart, one of the greatest hearts of the ancient world, but he slowly gave it away when his focus was off balance. His fruitfulness was devastated by a lack of faithfulness. And that's the key for all of us to take note and to take to heart today. We can accomplish great and extraordinary things in life for our families and for the Lord. But if we neglect the small things, the faithfulness, and keeping that highest good in mind, we can become like Solomon very quickly. Again, in the Old Testament, there was warnings to the kings not to trade with Egypt or to store up riches for yourselves or to make alliances with foreign peoples that would lead to foreign idolatry and worship of idols. But Solomon, thinking very practically, thought, if I do all these things, the kingdom will be stronger. And again, he started to glorify worldly things instead of the God who gave him the blessings to do great works. And so he made those alliances and traded with Egypt and built up riches for himself and for his kingdom. And eventually the Old Testament tells us he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Again, and he slowly gave away that wise heart to those false gods and to all those worldly things instead of to the God who created him and who sustained him and all of that. And so he slowly abandoned the law for the other treasures, instead of seeing God's word as the highest and the greatest treasure, the greatest good. And again, the enemy is so subtle, he tempts all of us in that way to think very practically and logically about what we're doing. Sometimes even wise decisions and small compromises can seem very practical and logical. But in those small steps away from the Lord and in that lack of faithfulness, we see sometimes very dangerous and big consequences that can snowball very quickly. When we lose our hearts to lesser things than God, those small ordinary steps, when we fall out of step with that faithfulness in our walk with the Lord, again, the consequences can be devastating. But what are those basics to keep in mind that good King Solomon lost sight of along his journey? Just simply spending time with the Lord in prayer, celebrating and receiving his word and being nourished by it, letting it wash over us like this rain today, going to the sacraments joyfully and repentant to receive God's mercy and grace and to be filled with it like our Blessed Mother Mary, and walking humbly with our God, acknowledging that every good thing comes from him. As much as we might be tempted to think, I accomplished this, or I have to do this or that, every good thing comes from our God. And as the scriptures remind us so beautifully, rejoice in hope, endure in affliction, and persevere in prayer. Rejoice in hope, endure in affliction, and persevere in prayer. That's how we hot walk humbly with our God through the ups and downs of life and remind ourselves that there is something greater that is behind all of this and that we are serving. And it is truth himself, our God who is with us and who strengthens us. And it's great to apply this to any part of our lives, our vocations, our journeys, wherever we're at. I still think back to my interview to become a seminarian for my diocese when I was just discerning my vocation to the priesthood. And they ask a very simple question, which is very practical and helpful. Why do you want to be a priest? Or you could ask yourselves, why do you want to marry this person or walk in this state in life? And of all the beautiful answers that you could give, one of the most important ones is simply to humbly walk with my God, to journey from here to heaven, to be with him for eternity, because this is the path in life that he has called me to, where I can use the gifts and the talents and the blessings that he has given for his honor and glory, and one day to be with him and to lead other souls to him, to heaven, whether it be my spouse or my parish or my community, however God is calling us to serve him in any state in life. And especially when they ask, why do you want to be a priest? I thought, well, there's so many cool answers. I love celebrating Mass. I want to preach God's word and baptize little babies and marry beautiful couples and celebrate all the sacraments with great joy. And those are beautiful answers as well. But it has to be very simply at first, just to walk humbly with my God, because I believe this is the way that he is calling me to live a life of holiness, to persevere in grace and in virtue and to be with him one day forever in heaven. And again, that applies to all of our states in life, to honor and to love his word, to let it guide everything that I do and to inspire every part of my life. And that's the beauty of our psalm today. Psalm 119 is the psalm, the responsorial psalm, that we chanted so beautifully this morning as well. to keep in mind, as the psalmist wrote, your word is more precious than thousands of pieces of gold or silver. Every false way I hate. It's so important to keep that in mind too, the things that could distract us. And the revelation of your word sheds light, giving understanding to the simple. It doesn't take brilliant knowledge or thousands of degrees and accomplishments or knowledge and wisdom always. God's ways can be known as he gives understanding to the simple. Again, the humble heart is the heart that is open to be filled up with his grace. God has a lot more difficulty working with hearts that are already full of themselves. So how do we humble ourselves and receive from the Lord and be filled with his word and with his life and with his truth and with his goodness? And it's very beautiful. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, kind of expanding on that for us. It's a great psalm to pray with, reminding us of the supreme value and the power of God's word, and to keep that always in our mind so that we're not distracted by all those things and accomplishments and things that we hope to do in life and try to accomplish on our own. Again, there's always that temptation, like Solomon faced, instead of just seeking fruitfulness, to be mindful of faithfulness and always walking with our God and not away from him. Being mindful of those fruits of the Holy Spirit, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Those are good signs to us from the Holy Spirit that we are walking with our God and not away from him or just simply for ourselves. Or maybe sometimes we don't feel good at many things. We're not necessarily a Solomon. We don't feel fruitful or faithful in our lives, and we get down, and all of us have those ups and downs in life. But especially if we feel that way in this journey to the Lord and to his kingdom, give even that brokenness to Jesus and the little pieces of our lives that we have, and he will use that as the raw material for the miraculous, to do something beautiful with us. If we're created in his image and likeness, and if he can transform something like bread and wine into his very body, blood, soul, and divinity, how much more does he desire to transform our lives, our hearts, our souls, our bodies, every part of ourselves into a new and beautiful creation, a miracle for this life to lead it to his eternal kingdom, to eternal life, and to be a light for other souls to see as well on that journey, to bring light into their darkness. So again, if your resources or education or energy or time or wallet all feel inadequate, whatever they might be, we can still purchase the greatest treasure of all, because thanks be to God, it doesn't cost a dime. Jesus just asks for 100% of our hearts and our focus on him. And this investment will pay back more than 100-fold in such an extraordinary way. So my friends, as we journey together in this life and in our vocations and in this beautiful parish family here, again, it's such a joy to be with you, to pray with you. Know that you're in my prayers up in Pennsylvania, and please keep me in yours down here in South Carolina. But let us walk, no matter how near or far, together humbly with our God and keep him as our greatest focus. And I'd like to close with the words of a great Jesuit priest, Father Pedro Arrupe, who was a Jesuit superior general for many years, who ministered as a missionary in Hiroshima, Japan, and came from Spain, but gave us this beautiful reminder to keep our focus on Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father Rupe said these words, "Nothing is more practical than finding God, that is, than falling in love in a quite absolute way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you do with your evenings, how you spend your weekends, what you read, who you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love, stay in love, and it will decide everything."